are wild, the way they can move us and the way they can motivate us, and at the same time can distract us. And emotions are something that'll come and go. But it's that constant feeling when we know that we're at peace, when we know that God is with us. And when somebody gives up that peace for fear, that goes totally against of what the Lord has for us and what he's got to offer us. So that this message that I'm bringing out, it's again geared toward the believers. But I do want to reach out, because I do want to reach out to everyone. And in fact, I want to reach out to the youth. You guys are, if you go join, God bless. Is there any of the youth are going to, any other youth, feel free to join them. They're going to have classes and services there. So if you're at the point where you don't know the Lord, where you're not sure that you are within the Christ, it's very easy, because it's really just a decision making of you to determine and to accept Christ into your life and to be Lord over your life. And when you know that, when you put your life and your and everything you have into the hands of God, they will be protected. They will be taken care of. So throughout this message, I'm also asking the Holy Spirit just to move within you so that you can make that decision to come to Christ. Dear Father, we thank you, Father, for the blessing you've given us. We thank you for this message. We ask that you minister to our hearts. We ask that you minister to our minds, our soul, from the depths of our soul, Lord. Please talk to us, be with us. Let your words be heard and your words be spoken. And we thank you, Father, in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. We talked last week a little bit about the deeds of the flesh and the gifts of the Spirit. Now, this is something that God has for us and is ready to place in our hands. And it's just for us to reach out and accept this. That's the thing about God. When he offers you something, he doesn't force it upon you. He allows you to receive it. We talked about Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read that again. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, Paul's talking about his background. It says, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing them out with trash. Along with everything else I used to take for credit. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all things I once thought that were so important are gone from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing God, of knowing Jesus Christ as my master. Firsthand, everything I once thought that was going for me is insignificant. Dog done. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules, but that I want that robust kind that comes from trusting God, God's righteousness. Verse 10 says, I give up all that inferior stuff so that I can know Christ personally, experience his resurrecting power by a partner in his suffering, and all that, and go all the way with him to death itself. In fact, Paul says, if there's any way that I can go to the resurrection of the dead, I do that as well. Verse 17 says, stick with me, friends. Keep track of those who are running the same course as we are, heading for the same goal. Now, there are many out there that are taking other paths and choosing other gods and trying to get us to go with them. All they want is the easy street. They hate Christ's cross. And then jump into the NIV, it says, for their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about things here on this earth. But that's far from us to see, because we're the citizens of the high heaven. We talked about that first one about their God being their appetite, the things that they want, the desire, everything they just don't put any halt to it. They keep wanting, and it's a never-ending frenzy. But I want to talk to you today about the other two parts where he says, and they brag about their shameful things. They brag about their sin. You ever young people that don't know the Lord, they're real big on that. Oh man, you should have seen me. I got drunk as a skunk. Oh, I did this to her and I did that. And there's all kinds of things that they brag about. But I want to bring it back to us and the things that we're proud of that God sees as shameful things. These are we looked at the deeds of the flesh, we looked at the gifts of the Spirit, but there's still parts in our lives that God wants us to go closer and closer and dig deeper and deeper. I was listening to a commercial and it had some athlete that was saying he's won all of this, all these rewards and all these medals, and then he says, but I still go against myself and try to beat my record from last time. And I looked at that commitment. And I can just see that commitment within us, within God within us, as we continually to get closer and closer and closer. But to get closer to God, we must look at ourselves and see where we're lacking. He says that when they brag of the shameful things, we're putting God's shame down and to death. So when we look at our lives, we always want to look at our lives and see how we can get most. I mean, after all, we're God's people. I mean, we're God's children. We're his people. We are princesses of the Most High God. Our God is our King. Our God is the creator of all earth. Who you are in Christ is just so far more amazing than anything we can ever see or settle for. That's what we need. We need to get the best and only go the furthest that we can with the Lord, getting tighter with the Lord. But it calls us to examine ourselves, and that's the part that a lot of people want to slow down on, and that's the part that a lot of people want to we don't want to talk about. When a young person saves himself for their spouse when they get married, that's not a sacrifice. That's not missing out on something, but that's waiting to receive the true love. In that same manner, when we reject the things that the world has to offer, we're not trying to just obey this list of rules and trying to be good. That's not what the Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about just following rules. Christianity is not about just trying to stay away from all the bad stuff and be good. Christianity is putting aside the imitation and receiving the true joy, the true blessing. Remember that the gifts of God, the gifts, the thing that he gives over to us is the love, the peace, the joy. So it's up to us to see the opposite of that and to see the fake of that. And it all starts with us looking at ourselves and examining ourselves and looking to see where we are. I want to invite you to a revival. This church is about to undergo a great revival, a great movement of God. We are moving already, and God's revival is coming in, and it's going to bring out not only to us as a church, but to this whole community. But what God wants to tell us right now is that revival is here right now and needs to start with you. It needs to start with me. We're going to have a personal revival. Now, we can't control everything of the church. We can't control everything of the community. We can just obey God's voice. But what we can do is we can turn our lives, examine it, let our soul examine our life and bring it to the feet of Christ, because revival starts with you. The revival starts with you personally. Your life, your prayer life, your life with the Lord, your soul, your goals, your everything that you're seeing, it starts with you, and that's something we can do right now. And as we start having individual revivals and individual repentance and bringing and getting closer to God, then the corporate revival will come around. That's exactly what God wants us to do. You know, when we talk about repentance, and when I preach about repentance, so many times people almost cringe, and that's like a word we don't want to hear. I mean, after all, we have the forgiveness of God, we have the grace of God, all that's true. But personal repentance is like a daily bath. It's like when we bathe ourselves in God. We come to ourselves and we examine ourselves and we come to God and we tell him, Lord, you reveal these things in my soul and my spirit. These actions that might not have even been triggered out or brought about, but it's just a way of thinking and the way we're thinking of ourselves. And we can see that through the word of when we start to doing these things that Paul talks about in Philippians, when we start to doing these things in our life, boasting in our shame and putting our priorities and looking at the things of this earth, those are all triggers for us to examine ourselves. I remember as a kid, I hated baths. My parents still tease me about that. I mean, I would rather try to throw on perfume or cologne or something, this and the other, just to, so I don't have to take a bath. And now as an adult, I look back and I say, well, bathing, not only sanitary, but it refreshes you. It not only cleanses you, it refreshes you. And that's what repentance is. Repentance isn't something, well, let me go take my whipping, let me go get my beating. That's not what repentance is. Repentance, true repentance, is when we go to God and we say, Lord, examine me. And he looks at our innermost thoughts, because the truth is there's something we can all get closer to God with. There's something we can all check in our lives. Remember last week we were talking about checking and judging ourselves so that God doesn't have to. Well, that's the same thing with repentance. When we come into this repentance, it's not a, oh, I'm so good, I'm so bad, I'm terrible, I'm this, the other. But it's better, it's rather than, Lord, use me, I want to be your tool. It's like sharpening your knife. It's like cleaning your sword. It's like putting a little shine on your shield. It's moving as we can get closer and closer to that point of repentance. That's when we get closer to God. Those are the things that God wants to see, that God wants to hear out. It's not a list of rules. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about embracing and getting hold of the truth, of the peace, of the real deal. And it's not only for the heavens that we're going to go to one day, but it's for right now. Excuse me. So what kind of the people that after tasting the fresh, after tasting the real, can turn around and walk away? What type of person after seeing the real deal will turn around and walk away? It's the type of person who hasn't embraced it and held on to it. Because we do have the worries of this world. We do have things that are coming against us, but they're parts for the individual, for us to take that cleansing. It starts with the revival, starts with you. It starts with us right now. The Lord, Paul said, they're enemies of the cross. They glory in their shame. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3 says, God defines evil for us as when he says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they dug out their own cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water. So Paul's talking about, he's looking at the church and he's saying the church they're in danger. They have two evils. One, the first one, is that they reject the fresh water. Isn't that amazing how you know, Houston, I'm reading about all the water that they need, and yet they're underwater. You know, all the drinkable water that they need to sustain them, the real stuff that we need to sustain us day in and day out, the things that are meant for us, the things that the glory that God has for us, the blessing that he wants to bestow upon you, the protection that he wants to give to you, the love and the real love that he wants to just envelop you of. These are things, this is the fresh water coming out, and it's just refreshing. But then in Jeremiah he says that they've created their own cistern. We don't use that word a lot, cistern. Cistern is like a dugout reservoir that collects rainwater and runoff water that people can use. What do you call it? Dirty water, brown water. You know, this is stuff that is not clean. God wants to remind us that he's been trying to bestow these things upon us. He is about to bestow. He is bestowing these things on us. The true water, the real deal, not the fake. And when we stop digging our own cisterns, what that means to me is that when we stop doing things our own way, God, I got it. I got it, Father. I'm gonna do it this way. And we start digging our own cisterns, trying to collect our own water. And we can see that analogy as he comes in. This is all the dirty water. The water's not fit for drinking. The water's not fit for bathing. These are the things of us trying to do our own thing. Now, God's with you always. The Father, the King of Kings, he's there available to us right now. And when we get that personal revival within us, when we can see that once again, when we can drink of that, and most of us that are sitting here are already doing that. But this is a push to go a step further. This is a push to go a step more, to let's sit back and examine our lives and take this bath, a clean water, a revival, the repentance. Repentance is something that, it's not a bad word, it's not a negative word, but it's like, come, let me bathe in you. When we can give up our stuff and give up our needs and our things, the Lord just wants to envelop us more. He has these things for us. He's promised them for us. They're given to us. They're ready for us. But we first need to let go of whatever it is in your life that's holding you in. God's calling us out. God's calling us out. Is there that, I made an analogy last week of that baseball, of the baseball diamond that had the first base. Remember, that first base is repentance. We can't even go around and get near the rest until we do the repentance. Next one is letting go of our sins, letting go of our thoughts that we know are against the Lord, that we know are disturbing the Lord. They disturb our spirit, so you know. I don't need to tell you what they are in your life. You know, the Holy Spirit's telling you. You know what it is, to just this worry, this fear, this whatever it is, give it up. Then we can get over to third base, which is forgiveness, which is total forgiveness. God will always forgive you. As long as we bring it up to him, he wants to forgive you. It's not a big thing of forgiveness because Christ has already paid for that price. Christ has already done it. What we need to do is reach out and dig in closer, get in closer. The revival, that breakthrough you were looking for financially, that breakthrough you were looking for of work, the breakthrough you're looking for the health. It's these things as we give up. Now, that's not to say that woe is me, I'm terrible, I'm bad, and I have all this negative stuff. But that's rather to say, how can we get closer to God? How can we get into more in tune with his spirit? How can we be able to walk and hear his word, hear his spirit, hear his love? These are the things that God wants to pour out. You've asked, we've asked, he's answered. Now we need to receive it. As we get into the repentance, make that a daily bath. Just, Lord, what is there within me that's hindering? Lord, what is it that's stopping me, that's coming? And these are things, again, that we can examine our soul. Until the day the Lord calls us, we're going to be attacked, we're going to be thought of, we're going to have stuff come against us. And that's why we're the children of God, where we can come against that in the name of Jesus, where we can be focused on the things that God wants for us and how he can move us. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1 says, because of these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward the complete holiness, because we fear God. Verse 8, I am not sorry that I sent this letter to you, although I was sorry at first. This is Paul talking to the church. He sent them a rough letter and told them to get rid of the sin that's in their life. And he said, I'm not sorry that I sent it. Verse 9, now I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants for his people to have, so we are not harmed by this in any other way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There is no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. He's comparing two things. He wrote a letter that was kind of rough, and he said, look, you guys in this church, you need to work on this. Take this out of your life. And he says, it's not to give you the kind of sorrow that the world gives you. Be woe is me, I'm unworthy, I'm no good, I'm this and I'm all the negative. But it's actually the opposite. It's telling us when we can repent and bring this out of light and God will take care of it, he gives us the real deal, the real peace. You've seen it. When you wake up in the next morning, it's not with a hangover, but it's with joy. And you wake up not with regret, not with shame, but with happiness. God wants to give us this real deal. We're not here to play church. We're not here that's what good people do on Sunday morning. We're here to get to learn more about Christ and to get in tighter with him, to get him to love him more. And as we get closer to him and we start seeing the who Jesus is and who God is, he becomes more alive to us and is revealed much more to us. And that's what God wants, this relationship. There was the last thing that was in that scripture. And he says, they think only of themselves, about this life here on earth. That's the one that kind of got me, you know. They think only about the things that are here in this earth. They think only about, they put more thought into this earth. Now I ask you a question. What do you do with your shame? When the Lord reveals something, that there's something in our life that's stopping them, what do you do with it? Do you boast in it? Do we say it's okay? Do we nonchalantly just say, it really doesn't matter? Or do we give it up to Christ? And that's the part that he's talking about. And then I think the big part of not being willing to give it up is that we're not looking at the light of the coming judgment that God has for us. That's another ugly word that people don't like to say in behind the pulpit. The coming judgment. But the reality is that when we get out of this earth and we get in front of Christ, there will be a judgment. Now that judgment, as God sees us, if you've accepted the Lord Heavenly Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if you have received him in your heart, he sees us through the light of Jesus. And he sees holiness because God is holy. And he sees redemption because God has redeemed us. The Jesus Christ, when we walk into the heavens with the love of Jesus, with Jesus all that we have accepted him, he covers us. The Lord said that he envelops us. He covers us. And what God sees through Christ, he sees his child. Without Christ, that judgment's totally different. Without Christ, when he sees our heart, no matter how good we are, when he sees our heart, he sees the sinful nature. He sees the sin. And that's the other aspect of that judgment. There will be a judgment, but it's going to be something that as Christians we have nothing to fear because we have Christ. So what God allows now is here on this earth that we can turn around and examine ourselves and see where we're going. It's getting awfully quiet out there. You guys still with me? It says about looking at this earth, looking at the things of this earth. Right now with this weather, we have a lot of fear. There's a lot of news coming out. There's a lot of and some of that fear is worth. I mean, we need to get that knowledge in us so that we can turn around and pray for the people. We can turn around and pray for safety. So some of that is good, but when we spend more time in our thoughts and our mind about the things of this earth as opposed to the things of our heavenly earth, that's when the Lord starts to get concerned. And that's when the Lord, when we wake up in the morning and instead of praying or instead of reading the word, first thing we do is we'll turn on the news and get this, what's going on? Or we're getting dressed and ready to go to work. Whenever we get so preoccupied with the things of this world, Those are the warning signs that God wants to let us know about. Because our mind should be on the heavenly things. Our mind should be on the coming. We're not of this world. You know, I know it's a different story for the Greenpeace guys. But we're not of this world. Putting all of our attention on this world, on the things we have. But with the Lord saying that those are the calling out signs. Those are the things that should cause us to bring up red flags. Again, What the Lord wants is to give you the real deal, is to give you the absolute best. I mean, we're the children of God. He wants to give you the true peace, the true joy, the true happiness. And the only thing that keeps us from that is when we're hanging on tight to the false stuff, the things of this world. It starts with the personal revival. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to really look at that and to see, to examine yourself. Because when we can make this personal revival, this revival personal, then it gets real. Then we can start focusing on the things that we were created to do, on the things that God has designed us of what to do. So I want to wrap up this message of just really putting into your heart the need for a personal revival. To get a revival within your heart, within your household. Get that going. A revival means a time where we can bathe in repentance, step out, be refreshed, and getting tighter and closer to the Lord. He has more things for you. He wants to give you these words to tell your loved one of how to explain their son, Jesus Christ, to him. These are blessings that he has incoming. These are things that God wants to give you, and being a child of God, you're allowed to hold that. But it first comes with repentance, with things that are within our heart. And that's the personal revival. That's when you're able to get in closer and you feel that peace and you have that warmth and you have that knowledge of salvation in Christ. Let's stand, please, as we hold on. As we pray, I'd ask you to stand. I'd ask you also, don't focus on my prayer, but focus on your heart, on your spirit. And Father, if there's anyone in here that does not know your son, Jesus, I ask that you move upon their heart. Dear Father, if we have accepted your son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, as our Lord and Savior, Father, I ask that you shine a light in our hearts and our thoughts and our minds. Dear Father, I thank you for the opportunity to repent and to put my sins into you, with you, so that I can be forgiven. For what your son Jesus Christ did on the cross when he bore all the sins, Father, we no longer need to live in that shame, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for your repentance. But call us a little closer, Father. Dear Father, hug. I ask that you hug and hold every person here. Just hold them, Father. Just hold them, Lord. And give them that love that cannot be even spoken of clearly. Dear Father, I thank you for being with us, for guiding us, Father. I praise your holy name. I thank you for this time to be able to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and tell us how we can get closer to you. Speak to us now, dear God, I pray. Speak to us now as we come together, Father. As we come together and allow you to wash and refresh us. Give us that invigorating shower all over, Father. And as your forgiveness just showers over us, it just refreshes us and give us a new spirit, a new breath, a new life. Revive us, oh God, I pray. I pray, Father, that you revive us. Bring us to your knowledge. Dear Father, let us know. Let us know of your forgiveness, of your joy, of your peace, of your strength. Dear Father, ask this blessing upon the church, Father. And as we get ready for your corporate revival, Father, I ask that you first bring it to us personally, Father. Revive us individually, Lord. Revive us in you, Father, I ask. I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. If there's anyone who does not know Jesus